I think I got under the skin of a Miami fan with my Michael Irvin creeper high school guy take. Yeah, texter. Shut up, Pendergast. Okay, let me stop there. At least he spelled my name right. Oftentimes when people are mad at me, they're like, shut up, Prendergast or Pendy. Mm-hmm. They do Pendy. So he says, shut up, Pendergast. Your team lost, crybaby. Look at the numerous videos of Irvin coaching the wide receivers.
There you go. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to look at those videos. How do you like that, Texter?
You're a hater. Yeah, you're a hater.
Yeah, yeah.
You're jealous.
That's right.
Dang it. I'm still trying to mull over the person that thinks we shouldn't listen to the football opinion of various people who've had issues in their personal life. Yeah. I'm trying to like, okay, man, how far am I going to try to wrench this Venn diagram apart? You know, Bill Belichick broke up a marriage when he was an assistant coach with the Giants.
Right.
Do all of a sudden I have to disregard anything Bill Belichick ever says about marriage or about football? Certainly about marriage, yes, but about football?
We had a texter say, it's not like you're sending somebody to the Rashee Rice driving school, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Yes. If you tell me, I will not take advice from Rashee Rice about how to behave after an accident.
An accident, right.
Running away on foot, for one, I can't take that advice. No. However effectively Rashee Rice ran away from that accident, I would have been caught right quick.
Oh,
I would have been trying to climb over the embankment or something. I'd be like, it's not worth it.
Same.
Not worth it at all. Rashee Rice was like 3 miles away, within 15 minutes of that accident.
Running a fourth.
Old Sethers would have been stopping in the convenience store for a giant Gatorade.
Oh, yeah. I'd have run 100 yards and be like, take me away, boys. Let's go. All right, D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday, was asked, what is your message to this rookie class as they get ready to embark on their first season?
Hey, Kim, the message is, it's really simple. Like, you played football before. Don't overthink it. Like, you played football since, I always say, guy, you played football since you were like 6 years old. So just because it's now your first time in the NFL, I tell our guys, somebody has to be rookie of the year. Somebody has to go out and play well as a rookie. Someone will. Why is it not you? So get rid of all the rookie jitters, all the most, like, go play ball, go do what you've been trained to do your entire life, and that's have fun playing football. You do that, block out all distractions, do what you've been taught to do, you'll go out and play well.
My favorite part of that was someone's got to be rookie of the year. I love that.
It's coming from a former defensive rookie of the year.
Bingo. Yep.
How about that? That's when he can talk from now. D'Amico probably never brings it up that he was a defensive rookie of the year, but he he speaks from experience. He can come in and just don't overthink it. Go out and play football. He brought this up specifically when talking about Jalen Noel a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
That he's told Jalen Noel, "Hey man, just go out and play football." And it's interesting because it's slot receiver especially. There's a lot of thinking that goes on. It's a lot of reading coverages. It's a lot more nuanced than what you were doing in college. And Jalen Noel's probably, he's a conscientious young dude. He's probably trying like hell. And at times you start getting into that mode where, when you start thinking too much, you don't go fast enough. And, and then CJ last week in his press conference, it was 2 weeks ago after the Panthers game, he had talked about how he wishes he hadn't taken the advice of all the people who told him how hard it was going to be and how hard you're going to have to work in the NFL because they almost like put it up on a pedestal and make it seem like it's this, like to crack the code in the NFL. It's just like there's some magical formula and it's only through 19 hours of work per day, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, no, at the end of the day, it's still football. Mm-hmm. It's harder in a lot of ways in college, but if you belong there, then you'll be fine with it. Just keep working hard and just doing what you do and just go play football.
Did you have jitters before your first week as a rookie? Do you remember? Do you remember how you...
I remember, my first week that I played in a regular season.
That's
game,
what I mean. And like the time we're in right now, like the week leading up to the game, do you remember?
Yeah, I didn't have jitters until my D-line coach talked to me the night before the game. And kind of, what did he say to me? I remember he was old school, John Pease. He was an awesome guy, but basically made it seem like, well, I know, hey, listen, I just hope that you don't really, really hurt the team. I was actually feeling kind of confident until you said that. And I was like, and I think he was doing it for a purpose. He really liked me. And I think he was, like, whatever head game he was trying to play with me, I think it probably worked because it made me feel that much more desperate. But I think I went in a little tense because of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's wild.
No, I was nervous every single game I ever played until somewhere around midway through my career, I realized, man, I'm burning too much energy being nervous. And then I turned into the most relaxed person who ever lived before games. And I started playing a lot better. It was actually in my fifth season in the NFL. I said, you know what? No, I'm gonna actually enjoy playing football. And I'm actually going to have fun during warmups. And I'm going to have fun and look forward to it. And I became a completely different football player because I went out looser and more relaxed and had more energy in the fourth quarter.
That's good advice, man. That's cool. That's really cool.
Well, it's tough. It's because a lot of football players, especially more so than in any other sport, because we've watched so many stupid movies, we think that you got to be the movie version of pumped up and everything for three straight hours before the game.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the opposite of how most people should operate.
And I think football too, there's such a scarcity of games, and it's probably so different for like baseball and basketball. But in baseball, you got 162 games. If you're going through that like psych up thing for 162 games, you're going to burn out by July.
Right.
And so
that's what they used to say about Roger Clemens though, too. Is that he would when he was a young pitcher, they're like, oh, he won't be able to keep that up, and he did. He was extreme in that regard.
But a little different for starting pitchers because they only play 30 games the whole year.
You're right. But even by pitcher standards, they were saying that.
Yeah,
for a position player, 100%.
Yeah.
I always wondered about that, like what it's like stepping out on a baseball field 162 times per year. Well, nobody does that anymore, but 150 times a year.
Yeah.
It's something more than practice, and yet at the same time, you're doing it every single day. You have more baseball games than NFL players have football practices.
Yes.
That you got to come to some kind of an even keel there where you're appropriately motivated, but just do it. That's why they talk about it so much in baseball, is just keeping an even keel.
Long season, sure. Here's D'Amico Ryans. Is Nick Caley, new offensive coordinator, is he ready to go?
Caley is ready to go. Caley has been through a ton of situations all through training camp, all through OTAs. We've been through a lot of different situations. All right, he's called a ton of plays throughout the offseason, throughout training camp, in the preseason games. He has reps on task, so he's ready to go.
And then flash forward to Friday, Saturday night, and D'Amico's going to walk up to Nick Caley after the team dinner and say, I just hope you don't hurt the team. Don't embarrass me out there, Kales.
Yeah, I know. Okay? Look, you're my second hire, man. Like, I got to get this one right.
A lot riding on this, Caley. Can you just not suck, okay? I don't know. Listen, I don't have great expectations for you, but could you just not suck? Could you do that for me?
There's a lot riding on this. here's D'Amico Ryans on variations to the O-line. Talking a little O-line with D'Amico.
We'll have some different variations to our offense, whether that's the mechanics at the line of scrimmage, checking plays, changing protections, whatever that looks like, whatever it entails, like we'll be ready to go. CJ's done a great job with the protection scheme of getting guys in the right place, adjusting when he needs to adjust. Just a matter of him being able to see it the right way, see it the same as the offensive line is seeing. And as long as we have 11 guys on the same page, like, ball snap, let's go play.
Yeah, dude, this whole operation I am super intrigued by on Sunday.
Well, honestly, even if CJ didn't have control at the line, as much control at the line of scrimmage as they're giving him right now, the methodology of them getting up to the line of scrimmage, where they've been consistently up at the line with more than 15 seconds left on the play clock, you think about the challenge a quarterback faces when you're coming up to the line, you've got 5 or 6 seconds to get the snap off, and everything that's going on with the O-line making their pass protection calls, how it ends up with where even if on paper CJ should know where the unblocked defender is, it's everything's happening so fast. You're not going to have that issue as much this year, I don't think. And that it's because CJ's integrally involved in the pass protection and changing and getting it right. You can have it. You can know where the problem areas are, even if it's not an unblocked defender, just who's got the toughest task and which, all right, we got Ariante Irisuri with no help versus Jared Verse, that you're aware of that before the snap. I think that's just, it's going to be a cleaner operation. I think CJ is going to be able to manage his risk a little bit better this year. And then you add on to it that, yeah, he's involved in the pass protection. He can get guys to the areas that need it. I'm very optimistic that it's going to be better pass protection this year. When it comes down to the individual players on the offensive line, I think that like not all those guys are going to play like Pro Bowlers. There's still going to be some issues, but it's going to be cleaner than it was last year.
Last one from D'Amico. What does he like about the offense? What has he seen that he likes throughout training camp with this offense?
What I've liked about our offense is I really like just how detailed our guys are. Our guys are they're on it when it comes from a schematic standpoint. There are not a ton of missed assignments. Guys are playing fast. Guys are playing together. And that's the main thing that I want to see, guys playing together. No hesitation, playing fast. Our brand of football is play fast, play relentless, and swarm. And that's what I want to see from the offensive side of the ball. We've seen that from the defensive side, special teams. Now the offense just plays that play that way, and think Kaylee gives us the best. He's given us the best chance to play that way.
I think it's pretty clear that D'Amico Ryans listens to Payne and Pendergast because that's what we've been saying all offseason long. Is like, look, you've got swarm on the defensive side of the ball. You've got swarm on special teams. It just, can we get a little bit of swarm on offense?
Yeah.
The thing I'm excited about is I think the mentality has already changed and shifted in a lot of ways on offense. And we knew before they had guys who were swarm worthy, just not enough of them, and then they weren't put in the right positions. I think this year it's kind of a deal breaker if you're not playing like a swarm type of guy.
Yeah.
You just like, no. Hey, Laremy Tunsil, great. You're great in pass protection. Cool. You know what? You are the opposite of swarm. You are finesse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are an artful pass defender. You're a emotionally uninvolved run blocker. You're a grudging run blocker. Like, no, that doesn't fit what we want to do. The first and foremost, you got to have guys who have a swarm mentality. So I like that. Doesn't mean that they're going to be awesome automatically, but it's going to be a hell of a lot. It's going to be a hell of a lot easier to want them to do well when they play that type of football.
We've seen a lot of athletes leave this city, you know, via free agency or trade or whatever. And I'm not just talking Texans. I'm talking Rockets, I'm talking Astros, and I may sit down and try to chicken scratch this list together today. I don't know that there's one higher up the list of ones I am most watching and rooting for a certain outcome for of all the ones that have been let go than Laremy Tunsil. Yeah. And I'm not rooting for a good outcome. I want the Texans to be vindicated in this trade for Laremy Tunsil. I want the city of Washington to get the same 19 penalties, preventing the same 120 yards, I think was the number Ross Tucker gave us earlier, of offense.
Taking points off the board.
Taking points off the board, turning 3rd-and-4 into 3rd-and-19. I need Washington to get the same Laremy Tunsil experience that we got for the last several years.
You know what we are? We're like our grandparents who lived through the Great Depression, and you never quite got or understood how they were so damn stingy and how they watched every little penny. Like, what, Grandma, what the hell? What? It's because we didn't know. We didn't live through it. We can read about it.
Yeah.
We can do all that, but we didn't live through the Great Depression. When it comes to pre-snap penalties, we lived through the Great Depression, and nobody understands what it was like. They just don't. What? They don't know what it's like to see that yellow flag on the ground after a big play on offense and know that it's going to be Laremy Tunsil, and then know that Laremy Tunsil is not going to be accountable for it. That after the game, he's going to make some vague accusation about it being the center's fault, or that the refs are out to get him, or whatever it might be. They just don't know.
Or he'll tweet out a picture of his autographed cleats by Beyonce
after having 3 pre-snap penalties in a game.
In a game they lost 31-2 on Christmas Day. Yeah, yeah.
Have a good time with that, but I'm sure this is the year Cliff Kingsbury actually ends up being a consistently good offensive coordinator. Yeah.
All right,
if there's anybody that'll put the fear of life into Laremy Tunsil, it's Cliff Kingsbury.
Cliff Kingsbury, yeah. You know that. All right, we'll circle back to the Astros in the next segment. If the Astros had to start a playoff series this week, we know who the top 2 pitchers would be. We've seen the audition of all the other ones now. Who would be number 3 for you right now behind Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez? We'll talk about that. We'll recap yesterday. Football talk, by the way, on Sports Radio 610, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.